show where anything goes. So get your needles and sit. Ladies, get your wool. Put your feet up on a stool. Cause it's no crime to set aside time and make sure that mug is full. Cause we're talking about knitting, not babysitting. We're spinning out a real good yarn. We don't give a darn about the cows in the barn, but the sheep better come to no harm. Ladies of the knit, I know you're ready for it. This is the show where anything goes, so get your needles and.
Okay, welcome to episode 15 of Ladies of the Knit. I'm Susan.
I'm Sally.
And I'm Chris.
And on Ravelry, I'm Susan V. Knits.
And I'm Sally C. Knits.
And I'm Shine On, all one word.
So let's start with on our needles. Susan, what do you have on your needles?
I still have barley sugar on my needles, and I think I know I talked about that last time. It's an Isolde pattern from Saturday Treat, and I've just been kind of working away on it. I took a trip, and I had a lot of wait time in the airport, so it was perfect for that because it's easy to memorize. So I'm still working on that. And also my Dahlia cardigan I was describing to you guys, trying to describe to you the construction. It's very unusual construction. And I know I complained when I was working on the lace square that is the back, but and then I started to complain a little bit about the stockinette stitch. So can't please me, but it is kind of once you get into the stockinette stitch, it is pretty mindless. And I love the yarn. I'm using Ultra Alpaca Light from Barocco. And the designer on that, on the Dahlia cardigan, is Heather Zapetti, I believe. And it's a pretty popular pattern, but I've been working on that for a while. So I needed a little break, and I cast on another scallop shawl, which is from the Malabrigo Book 3, which I made one already in Cape Cod Gray, the Silk Merino, which I love. I wear it all the time.
And I love it, too.
Yeah. It's such a great pattern because it's fun, but it's really – it was fun with a Silk Merino. But it's really fun with a Malabrigo Soft Primavera because the colors are lovely.
Yeah.
So I started working on that, and I'm getting along on it. I just needed a break from the Dahlia. This is I believe the designer's name is Brianne Elise Miller. I wrote it down somewhere, but I thought I didn't write it down here.
Isolde.
No, this is from the Malabrigo 3 book. So, and it's just a lovely pattern. So it's going to be quite a different gauge because the first one was DK, the Malabrigo Silk Merino. And this one is, of course, fingering weight with a Malabrigo sock. So that's all that's on my needles.
I wanted to say about the Dahlia that Susan showed us the construction, and I don't get it at all.
I know. I don't either. But I think it's pretty neat. What did you call the armholes?
They're called afterthought arms.
Yeah, it's like
afterthought heels.
Yeah, right, which I've never done either.
Afterthought heels. And also on that fetching pattern, they do the afterthought thumbs.
Oh, interesting.
It's the same concept, and it works beautifully.
Well, it'll be interesting, because I listen to Knit Knit Cafe podcast very regularly, and Abby was making the same cardigan, and she was describing the construction. And even though I had the issue of interweave knits, and I was looking at it, I could not figure it out. And not until I actually started. I won't even describe it because I'll describe it badly. But it's really knit pretty much all in one piece. You put these pieces together and work on the side and make into the fronts. So, but it's going to be, I know I'll wear it and I know I'll like it.
Yeah.
But it's just taking me a while.
It
seems like a lot longer.
I'm excited to see it because I want to see how all the puzzle pieces
are. Yeah, right. Yeah. And I keep looking at the finished product because I know I'll love it, but it's just, I'm having a hard time keeping going on it.
Yeah.
Because I think I was describing to you that Hanafetic patterns I've made that are all one piece that just, when they went so fast, especially Rocky Coast, which was my last one.
Yeah.
Same type of deal, knit in one piece, but it just was so much faster. Just basic knitting, and that had cables. So that's all on my needles.
Yeah. All right. Well, sometimes don't you think that things with cables go a little bit faster? Because I don't know, because you work up to the cable and then you switch it. There's something to look forward
right.
to.
Maybe that was it.
As opposed to just a sea of stockinette.
Because I was surprised I got into a rhythm with that, and I was cabling without a cable needle. And now I don't remember what how I did it, but I'd have to start all over and watch a YouTube. But anyway.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Chris, what's on your needles?
Absolutely nothing.
Wow.
I just hit a quiet spot. I think that 22.5 cal did me in. If you've listened already, you've heard my lament about the mismatching sides. But I do have something that I'm going to start soon, which I'll talk about in our queue.
Okay. Okay.
Soon to Good. Be on your needles.
Soon Good. To be on my needles.
Okay, and all I have on my needles right now is the Annabelle cardigan, which I've talked about before, too. And I'm just about to cast off on the bottom, so I just have the sleeves left. So that's coming along.
Did Nellie ever start hers?
And Nellie never started hers, so I have that yarn, and I'm thinking I might make a leaflet out of it, or maybe
nice.
A leisle. Or maybe even another February lady sweater, because I love that.
So leaflet was the Cecily pattern, correct?
Right.
Is
yeah.
that right?
Yep, yes. that was on Knitty.
That's right. Oh, that's right.
Then,
okay.
That I
the last
looking
issue
at
of Knitty.
And looking at. It was in the fall.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It came out late in the summer.
Right, and that was a very popular pattern.
Yeah.
And the Isolde Liesel, right?
Yeah, the Isolde Liesel.
Yeah,
yeah. I like
lovely.
The short one with the little cap mm-hmm. sleeves. Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah. So, shall we go to off?
Sure, let's go to off our needles.
Okay. What do you have off your needles?
I have a few things off my needles. Again, I was kind of reaching, I just needed a break from the Dahlia. So, my daughter had said she wanted a headband, and you and I had talked about the morning
right.
walk headband. So one night I thought, well, I'll make her one of those because I'd promised her one. And I just went in my stash and I found some really generic black bulky wool. I have no idea what it is. It could be acrylic partly. And I made her a headband. I didn't put the flower on because the pattern is a
yeah.
free pattern on Ravelry morning walk headband. And I just made it a basic headband, finished it that night and took a picture of it on the dog to send her to see what it looked like, but it did look cuter on her, although it looked pretty cute on the dog.
Maybe you should make the dog her own headband.
I know. I don't think she'd keep it on. She scratches at things on her neck. That's the problem with a bandana cowl I made, because it looked really cute on her, but she started scratching at it, and that
yeah.
wouldn't last long.
No.
The other thing that I did off my needles, which was another really quick project, is the Rasta Neck Warmer from Malabrigo 3 book, and it's called Rasta Neck Warmer, not because of Rastafarian, but because it's the yarn Rasta, which is their thick, thick yarn. Bulky. I think it's super bulky. But I had some Esther Bitron hand-dyed sacos that I bought on sale at the Stitch House last year, and that was perfect. It called for the Rastas, it called for one skein of Rasta, which is 90 yards, and the sacos was 88. So I was so happy that I had something, and it's really pretty colors. It's like blue and pink and purplies, mauveys. So I'm really happy with it. I just have to do buttons.
What was the yarn again?
It was this Esther Bitron's hand-dyed sacos. I don't even know if it's still
yeah.
available.
Is it a local person?
I don't think so. It was a very odd. I've seen it. I looked at it on Ravelry, and it's not a hugely popular yarn, but I think they were just, I'm guessing it was on sale at the Stitch House because it was discontinued, but I don't know that for sure. But I'm happy with it. It was kind of like a weird moss stitch.
I think it looks great.
Elongated moss stitch, it was called.
Yeah.
So I just have to put buttons on. It was so quick. I made it in a day. And it was a nice 17, size 17 needles. And it was fun. So I think that's all that's off my needles right now.
Okay. Oh, I made a tiny leprechaun.
Oh, did you? Was that the picture you put on the group?
Yes.
You put him
yeah,
very
yeah.
cute.
And I had a little blog post about it, which, so anyway.
I love them so, Sally.
Oh,
I love them all, so I've got to try one.
Well, I loved making him, and she didn't have a pattern for a leprechaun, so I had to make up the leprechaun pattern, and I thought it was really fun because I had this idea in my mind how to make a top hat. And then I started knitting on the brim, and it it just started flopping all over the little tiny leprechaun's face. So so I turned it into a tam, and really when you think about it, a knitted tam is much more appropriate.
Yes, that don't you think? Fabulous.
And so he has a little tam, and he was really cute, and everybody in the family really likes him. And really, everybody in the family really likes him, including the kitty,
yeah.
Because I got up in the morning and I found it on the table, and Kim said, I found it on the floor, and the kitty had taken his beard off. Naughty kitty. Really, we should make all those little Moki Mokis for the cats, you know, because they really like them. Yes, yes. So, and that's all. Oh, and the other thing that I have off my needles was really never completely on my needles was that mended sweater. Remember I brought
yes,
it up in the last?
Yes, right, exactly.
And so I had a really great time taking care of that
really?
Sweater. I did. And it had big holes under the arms, and I darned it. I had been, did I mention that I'd been to the museum and I saw that book about post-World War, or during World War II, and they had all these, you know, rationing tips for how to make things go farther in Britain. And this, and they had kind of reissued this book, and it had a whole section about darning. So I used that as my darning primer to remind myself how to really do a good job of it. And it came out really well. And actually, I did take a picture. I don't think I really took a picture of the holes, but I did take a picture of it all ready to go. And what was kind of fun was I'd gotten that yarn for Mark's Best that I never finished, but I really never really got very far at all on, and it matched the sweater perfectly. But also, Mark was kind of jealous of that sweater. And so now I'm realizing that I'm just going to design a vest for him with kind of based on that sweater.
Oh, nice.
So that was a good project.
Can you take a picture of that sweater?
Yeah, I took a picture, yeah, and before I sent it off. Yeah. You know, it was just a basic, thrifty sweater. Mm-hmm. New England, sturdy.
Right. Held up.
Yeah, it's probably 30 years old.
Wow.
I wanted to say, apropos of the Brits, I wish we had been in London, because the British Museum did a whole thing a couple weeks ago on knitting with vintage knitting patterns.
Oh, really?
Oh, cool.
Really?
Yeah, they had this whole series of events that I saw. I think there's some YouTubes. But
do you think it's online at
really
all, or
fun.
Just picture photos?
I looked online to see if they posted any of the vintage patterns, and I didn't see them. But maybe they did at the end of the week.
Well, that reminds me that at the MFA, and I think it's still running, and I can put this in the event section, they have an exhibit right now called Beauty as Duty. And that's that's about Britain during World War II.
Oh, interesting.
And it was about fashion design, because you were only allowed to have, you know, to buy like two dresses a year and a coat every other year or something like that. So scarves became big fashion items, but they have a really beautiful display of the scarves. There was one designer that did a lot of them, or a husband and wife team, and some of them have kind of military themes behind them, like fighter planes and stuff. They're beautiful. And the clothing actually had more of a military style. And then they showed that post-World War II, when everybody, you know, went back into their homes and it became ultra-feminine. And
big
know.
Skirts, more fabric.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder if that was literally in their ration books. I know there were ration books for food. So were there actually, like, ration coupons for dresses and coats?
Yes, I think so.
It's hard
you were
to
limited.
Believe.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. But the exhibit's really, really interesting, and we had no idea that it was there, and actually everybody in my family really liked it, even the son, you know, I think because of all the pictures of the airplanes and stuff, too, you know. But that whole notion of rationing is so foreign to us, and kind of interesting. So,
yes.
Wow, can you imagine if we had to ration yarn?
I guess we'd be resourceful,
but it's a good thing we have good stashes, because you just never know. We're prepared.
Baby, 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 what's wrong with Uncle Sam? He's cut out on my sugar. Now he's messing with my ham. I got the ration blue. Blue as I can be. For me. I've got those ration blues.
How about stash?
Okay.
Chris, I know you've got some
first.
Stuff.
You have some
stash.
Nice things.
Well, I'm going to sort of talk about what is going to be on my needles during stash, if that's okay.
Oh, absolutely.
Does that include that package you just opened, though?
I could talk about that in a second.
Yes. 25. So pretty.
I have not been able to decide what I wanted to make, and of course there's too many things, but this morning I decided from the Stephen West book 3 that I would make a scarf called Wedgwood.
Ooh.
And it's garter and stockinette.
Oh, beautiful.
And on one side, it's done lengthwise, and on one side you do short rows so the stripes are fatter.
Uh-huh.
And it just looks like a lot of fun. And you use two colors of fingering, so... And I thought somehow I could do that.
Right? Is that why you're winding the plucky knitter?
Yes, I have two colors of plucky knitter that actually came together in a set called Pencil Box.
Oh,
yes. So
I
loved it. There's kind of a blacky charcoal and a gray, a very
And I bet
gray.
You that's called graphite.
It could be graphite.
Yeah.
She didn't name them separately, but... So I'm winding the variegated gray right now, but I've been looking for something good to use.
I think those two colors are going to look really nice. Yeah.
I think you introduced those in a previous podcast. You had just gotten them, and we oohed and aahed a lot then, too.
Yeah, she does
They're
some
just
nice
so nice.
Sets, but, you know, you have to be... She tells you when she's going to put stuff up. It used to be on Etsy, but now she has her own... site, and you literally have to be there, and you have to start putting things in your basket in a frenzy because it sells out in 15 minutes. I mean, people are just all over it. So this is something I bought in one of the sales, but I like her stuff so much I signed up for the monthly packet of two colors, which I'll go for a while. I think you can stop it whenever. Hmm. So I did get one this morning.
Oh, what a nice treat.
Yeah.
Oh, getting yarn in the mail.
I know. There's nothing better.
It's a beautiful what?
What is it called? Is it?
It's called... This series is inspiration from movies.
Oh.
And the inspiration is from Steel Magnolias.
Oh.
And she calls it Bleeding Armadillo Groom's Cake.
Wow.
And I don't
wow.
remember Steel Magnolias it's, very well, but it's what? It's a...
Well, it's kind of a Cabernet.
Yes.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Oxblood.
Yeah.
Is that just
yeah.
a Madeline Tosh color name?
It's a beautiful red, and it looks kind of like the Dahlia Madeline Tosh color.
Yes.
Which I have some as well.
What is the fiber content in the yardage? You have two skeins there. They're exactly the same, right?
Yes. And this knitting, monthly knitting yarn thing, she always sends what she calls primo. So it's 75/25. And then what's MCN? Merino...
Cashmere nylon?
Cashmere and nylon. I think you're right.
Because I... Yes.
Yep. Because you see that MCN all the time now, and in the sock you have the nylon. So each one has $3.85.
Wow.
Look on her website, because she just does
Wow, that's
beautiful.
That's good amount of yardage.
Yeah.
So that was a little treat this morning.
That's a really
nice
treat. I have one skein of plucky knitter in it, and I know I talked about it in the previous podcast, because I haven't used it yet, but because you introduced me to that, I bought it on Ravelry, and it was part of her coffee series, and I realized that I have to find something to knit with it.
I would have loved a coffee series.
Yeah.
That's pretty great.
I know. Well, if you look on Ravelry, I did buy it from somebody, and it wasn't outrageously priced. So.
And I found some plucky knitter DK that I haven't realized I had.
Oh,
so
wow.
I wonder if I could do the
scallop shawl. That would be lovely. That would be so lovely.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
So I'm back.
Yay.
Great.
And so
in stash, is that where we are?
Yep, we're in stash. Well, I really liked making my 22.5, and I'm wearing it right now. I've been wearing it a lot. And
I love the scallops.
Yeah, me too.
I
want to
make another.
And I want to make another, too. And I
and
really...
I'm going to make one sometime.
I know you are.
When I can count.
But you didn't rip it out, right? So you still have it on the needles.
I'm pretty tempted to rip it out because I counted it again and it was off again. And that's just ridiculous.
You might as well just start over. Yeah. I would do that too. No, it's got bad moochie-moochie.
Yeah,
you know, you just have to rip it out.
I mean, all you have to do is increase at either end every row.
Right.
So I
say it aloud to yourself like three times before you start.
Maybe I'll do it in a
and click your heels.
Clicking heels helps. So I really wanted to make another one of those, and I wanted it to be fairly variegated with some bare spots showing through, because I really, Susan, I'm jealous of yours. I love that baked apple color.
Oh, I do too.
Beautiful.
And I had a skein of plain sock yarn in my trunk, and it
is it by plain? I'm sorry to interrupt.
Men
undyed,
bare undyed.
Oh, okay.
Yes, and that was a good question. And it has some alpaca in it, so it's really nice. It's going to be really
nice.
Alpaca, merino, and nylon. And so I thought I would dye it with Kool-Aid because I love my Kool-Aid mitts that I had been knitting up. And I like the way it came out. It's what do you think? What would we call it? I think it just looks like peppermint stick ice cream
or cotton candy.
It's very pink.
It's pinker than cotton candy.
Yeah. Yes, that's true.
It is sort of tropical punch pink,
candy
which tropical
apple?
Punch is what I used, or candy apple. Yeah, with the white in there. Anyway, it. But I think it's going to be good for this 22.5.
It'll be very springy looking.
And with the little scallops,
that'll be very charming.
The white in there. So that's what's new to my stash. And you, Susan, I bet you've got
I just have a couple of things. Let's see. The Malabrigo sock, which I already mentioned.
Uh-huh.
I got it at JP Knit and Stitch, and Ed went over there with me, and it was they're just so nice there. And this colorway Primavera, which I started for the scallop shawl, and it's just got some nice variations. It's mostly green, but it's got some reddish tones in it and blues, but I'm really enjoying it, seeing it in the scallop shawl.
Yeah, and that looks springy to me too.
Yeah, yes, I think I'm going to really like it. The other thing I just bought and put in my stash was a skein of Cascade alpaca lace that I bought from the Stitch House yesterday, and I just went in. I'm trying not to buy much for my stash, but it's a nice yardage, and it's alpaca, baby alpaca lace weight for 437 yards, and I actually was looking at a Jared Flood pattern called Rock Island Shawlette, and I'm thinking, oh, I could make that because it looked gorgeous. And then I went home, and they had the paper pattern, and I thought, well, I want to support the Stitch House, but I'd much rather have it as a PDF. So if I buy,
right.
I buy the yarn at the Stitch House, but I'll buy the pattern online. And I looked at it, and it just looking at the tags, it's lace both
lace.
Sides, right side
yeah.
and wrong side. There's no, as you guys so aptly reminded me, is named the rest row. So I, as gorgeous as it is, I don't think I have the fortitude, especially after my Dahlia lace square, which just did me in.
Yeah.
And it's all charts. So I don't think I can, my next lace pattern has to be something that has a rest. But Chris, I want you to just, you guys had said the difference between lace knitting and knitting lace, and I'm never going to remember it, but I just want to hear you say it again, and maybe I will.
I heard it in a lace workshop with Franklin Habit that was here in the Boston area in the fall.
No, last spring.
Last spring.
Yeah.
And he said there's a difference between knitted lace and lace knitting, and it has to do with that rest row. And I can't remember which is which, but I think knitted lace is lace on every row.
Okay.
And lace knitting has the rest row. But it could be the other way around. But it's semantics, and it really it means something different.
Right.
Just to people who are into that.
Well, I know that I follow some knitting blogs, and
mm-hmm.
I did, there a couple different people had been working on the Rock Island.
Oh, really?
And One of them in particular is an amazing, amazing, amazing knitter who does lots of lace, and it took her forever.
Really?
It came out beautiful, though, and she loves it. And then this other woman, it took her also forever. But hers came out beautifully, too.
But it's like a long time. Right?
Yes.
I mean, all lace.
Yes. And you do this huge long edging, and then you do another huge piece. So
I don't know if it's worth it.
So I still have this beautiful skein of yarn. It was only $10 for 437 yards. So I'm sure I'm going to find a nice lace project for it. It's browns and blues.
It's very really muted. Pretty. Yeah. Okay.
That's it for me.
So that's it for stash. So now we're on to queue. So let's talk about what's in our queue. Who wants to start?
Well, I sort of talked about what was in my queue, which is
anything else
about Wedgwood. But should I talk about the Juju's Loops book?
Yes, please.
Book just came out. I think it was pretty self-published.
You sent us the link?
Yes, yeah. I looked at it,
and we can put the link up. But it's Juju Vale and Susan Cropper, who owns Loop Knitting in London, England. I wish we could go there.
Oh, I thought it was your Loop store.
No, it's the London, England one. And I try to be really careful about what I buy, but it was really, really, really nice. And I can't remember if they had any downloads at all or if it was just a paper book, but it's one of those books where I liked everything. Fabulous fingerless gloves.
Can I just say it was very well reviewed in this the newest Knitty. They mentioned it and they gave it a fabulous review.
I guess I did see that. The pictures are fabulous. The models are really diverse and interesting, and there's some shawls and hats and really cute baby sweater.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
It has the same font, it looks like Isolde's book.
Mm.
Doesn't it? Kind of the introduction for that script. It's so charming.
Yeah.
There's a shawl called Brown Eyed Susan, which is just beautiful.
I love it.
And you can make it big or small, striped or not. And it has a beautiful lace pattern at the bottom.
I like that one too.
Yeah, a funny little wrap.
That is really cute. That's
so cute.
Kind of a shawl like. Almost like a bed jacket.
Yeah, or a
construction, but so
kind of like a shrug too in some ways. Yeah,
that looks a little too lacy. Oh, and these beautiful—I don't know that I would wear these, but I think it's so pretty. A little neck warmer and wrist warmers that are very pretty.
Oh, it looks good on the dog.
Yep. I thought of that. And Cinnamon Girl.
I love that sweater.
Describe the sweater a little bit.
I would wear that sweater.
Well, I loved it because she said, this sweater was designed with our own wardrobes in mind. Both Susan and I like to wear layers. We wanted a cardigan that would look good on a full bust and could be worn open or closed with a variety of fasteners. So I'm all over that.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
But you can do short sleeves or long sleeves. You can make, there's kind of a waist.
An empire waist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of between the, I guess it is an empire waist. And then you can make, below the empire waist, you can make it as long as you want.
So is it a one piece? Sorry.
I think it's one piece. I'm not sure. I think it's one piece. You have to look. And then Sal. Little birdie dolls, which are awfully cute.
I might have to get that book.
Yeah,
I think I like everything you've shown me in there.
And a nice blanket and a scarf and a big fat.
Yeah.
Well, actually, then at the end, they show some of the free patterns that are on their website. Made up. And it's just a beautiful book.
It's gorgeous.
Though I will tell you that I saw some errata, and there are a lot of mistakes.
Oh, already? Oh, okay.
So if you get it, make sure you check the errata.
Okay.
But it's gorgeous.
I thought it was
gorgeous.
Yes.
And you know what? What I'm thinking? Maybe that lavender yarn that we got for Nellie's Annabelle will have to be my cinnamon.
What
girl.
Weight is that? What yarn do they use to make up that?
Yeah, let's see. Because mine is worsted, a kind of a slightly heavier. Oh, this is, oh dear.
What is it?
Barocco Ultra Paca Light.
Oh, it's in a beautiful pink color, though. What's the color way?
Color shown pea soup mix. Wait a minute. Maybe I'm looking at the
wrong
thing.
Yeah, that's a
that looks like a different pea soup.
Yeah,
right. So it's just a different version of the sweater.
I see.
But the pink one is lovely. That's got to be some hand dyed, right?
Yeah, probably.
That is beautiful.
Yeah,
but I can't tell the weight. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
So I think that little wrap uses a much thicker yarn.
And I like that wrap, too.
So that might work for Annabelle.
Yeah.
I thought that was awfully cute.
Yeah. Anyway, I love that, Chris. That's beautiful. Beautiful. Nice tip. And we were also going to talk about the new Nitty.
Yes, let's do.
Yeah. So I have
I don't mean to interrupt, but I have to ask you. I didn't get the email till Thursday, and you mentioned it on the group on Wednesday. Did you get an email? How did you know? So I feel like you just knew. How did
you know? You know how I knew? Because I went to look at Leaflet again.
Oh.
I think that's how I knew, yeah.
I just thought you had some inside information because you said something about it on our group, and then I looked, but I didn't get the email that it was up till the next day.
Yeah, I didn't
either. Well done, Sal.
Well, you know, sometimes when you click on it and it takes a long time to load, I'm thinking, oh, everybody's clicking on this today. There must be something up. And sure enough, there was a new...
Yeah. Okay, sorry.
But we were looking at it before we started taping here. And I have found a new pattern that I love in there. And I have some lace weight yarn that I think would be perfect for it. And it's a small shawl... or scarf kind of thing called Bosco Bell. And it was the pattern that they've designated for hand spun. But you could do it with...
I wonder if I could...
That would be beautiful.
Is there a rest row?
Yes, I think so. I'm almost...
That's very important.
I didn't look at it carefully enough, but
it is gorgeous.
You know, when they don't have a rest row, the lace is really open.
Mm.
And this does not look that open.
Is it all lace or is it lace border?
Lace border.
Yeah. That's easier too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yes, I do. I thought it was gorgeous too.
And you guys had things that you were writing down. I know that cardigan.
Yes, I'm trying to get that up on my iPad. Was it called Flaming June?
Yes, and I noticed that's at the top of Ravelry list of patterns.
Yep. And it's a Cheryl Naiman who did Fetching and what?
Oh, she did for late.
Your book.
And that
embellishment
book that I love.
Oh, yes.
So she's starting to put out more patterns, which is really nice.
Good.
Well, the one that I was really attracted to was Afternoon Tea. Well, the name, first of all, so lovely. And it's a nice pattern. And it's 8 out of the, it's number 8 of the top 20 Ravelry patterns with 846. I don't know if that's Q. I'm sorry. I just wrote down 846, either queuing it or making it.
I think that's
queuing. Okay. But I thought that's so perfect for a nice skein of sock yarn. Or we were having a little discussion on the group about the new Madeline Tosh colors and just what to do to start to use up those single skeins of Madeline Tosh.
I was
light.
Afraid to look at them. I did not even look at that.
I was going to list them.
I started to hit the link, and I just closed it. I said, I can't even know about them.
Right. I was going to make a list, but I thought, no, then we'll just have to go buy some. So I'll leave it for now.
Right.
If the colors, I mean, the colors are beautiful enough, and then the names seduce me right in.
Exactly.
Because of the names.
Well, and then I remembered, I have one that I haven't used.
Right, me too.
And I dug it out, and it's Oxblood, and I love it, but I don't love it for right now. And I wanted one of those other new ones. So that's why I dyed this one, because this is approximately what I wanted. I mean,
very
I wanted
smart.
A little more purple in there. And plus, it uses up something in my stash.
Right. So we should start thinking about another KAL and maybe something that uses up a skein of a single skein.
Yes,
again.
I think that's a really good plan. Yeah, either fingering or lace weight.
Sorry. So the other things in my queue are there was this Montera slouch hat in the last Classic Elite web letter, And I have tons of Montera and some single skeins because I used to visit the Hub Mill store quite frequently when
what
I worked up there.
Old classic elite yarn.
I know, but it's lovely and it's size 10 needles. It's quite large needles. And it looked like just a fun hat, really simple lace pattern. And the other thing in my queue is Piper's Journey from Knitting Pipeline, Paula's pattern from Quince and Company. And I actually pulled out, it's a sport weight and it uses, is it chickadee, their sport weight?
Yeah.
I had some Madeline Tosh sport that I bought on Etsy, and it's
that's
blue.
Pretty.
What is it called?
Ooh,
it's called Tosh Sport Sugar Plum, and I only have
beautiful.
Two skeins, which would be just enough for that. So I'm thinking that maybe I'll use it for that.
That's
anyway
beautiful.
So that's all that's in my queue for. Well, more, but not anything. Those are the new things in my queue.
All right. Oh, now we're going to go on. Should we go on?
Sure.
Okay. To the what can I do with this section. And I brought something for the what can I do with this section today. And it's Terra. It's two skeins of Terra by the Fiber Company. Susan and I found it when we went to Knitwit in Portland last year. And it was on sale. It was half off. And I got two beautiful skeins of this beautiful yarn, but it's only 98 yards a skein.
It has like a little, it's yellow, but it's got pinky in it.
Yeah,
it's alpaca, 40 alpaca, 40 wool, and 20 silk.
Yep.
Beautiful.
I know, it's gorgeous.
Chamomile is the color.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
And I don't know what to do with it. Chris started looking on Ravelry, and we did find Kat Bordy's Mobius cowl, which I could do with it.
It would be so soft.
Yeah, it would be very soft. But I'm not positive that's the right thing. So if you have any other ideas, send them my way.
Post it on the group.
Post it on the
group. So you have a little under 200 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was saying that is it the Fiber Company? Their stuff is so beautiful, but it's quite expensive and it's pretty low yardage.
Yeah.
But I love their patterns, and they're based in Philadelphia, which is really fun for me because I'm from Philly, so I like reading about their adventures. But every time I pick it up, you know, you need 3, 4, 5 skeins, and it...
Yeah. Right, because I had seen that pattern. I was telling you guys that I from the local magazine, there was a picture of Kate Gagnon Osborne wearing this beautiful shawl, and I was hoping it would be in the book as the featured pattern, but it wasn't. But I just happened to look up something about her, and there was the pattern. I was looking up Terra by Jared Flood, and it. Because that shawlette is made with Terra, it popped up. It's called Springtime Bandit, and it's gorgeous, but it takes 4 skeins of Terra.
Yeah.
So it's expensive.
Yeah.
It's a lot for a little
$64.
Yeah.
But it is beautiful stuff.
Yeah.
That's comparable to that Mara. That's the free pattern from Madeline Tosh DK.
Oh, I like
and it
that.
Takes 3 or 4 skeins of DK. We're talking
$60, $80. Right.
I like the idea of the cowl because it's so soft. You can wear
it
next year.
Yeah.
Or some kind of fun scarf. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think a cowl would be lovely.
I think a cowl is a really good idea. And whether it's a one that has some buttons.
Really soft.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
What's next?
Next is, how about we go with C to, let's go to bookshelf. Who's got something for the bookshelf?
I do. More mysteries. I might have mentioned these before, so if I have, I apologize. In fact, I kind of think I did. By Alan Bradley. They're British. And, they star an 11-year-old girl named Flavia Deluce.
And I don't think you have
really,
done these.
They're really, really fun. I've been reading a lot of pretty depressing mysteries lately, and they're just fun. And they're a fast read, and the first one is called The Sweetness at the Bottom of the Pie. And then there's 3 more. And I think it's around the 40s or 50s.
They sound really fun.
They do.
And she has a very eccentric family, and all these crazy things happen. And there's a mystery in there that she solves. She's a chemist,
11-year-old. Nice.
She finds her. They live in this big rambling mansion, but they don't have any money, so half of it's closed off and it's falling down around them. But she found her great uncle's chemistry lab at some point. They're really a fun read.
They sound great. And I love the name.
Flavia DeLuce.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I have a mystery, too, and that it's The Beekeeper's Apprentice by Laurie R. King. And I picked it up because I was at another library. I was tutoring at another private school, and their homepage for their library said, if you're missing Downton Abbey, you could try, and it had several books. And Beekeeper's Apprentice was one of them. And, of course, I was attracted to it because it's a mystery. And it takes place in England post World War I, and the main character Mary Russell is about she starts out at about 15 years old and she's 18 I think right now, or maybe 19, and the beekeeper is Sherlock Holmes, so she's sort of his apprentice, but she's not like Watson. She's very, very much his equal. And again, this is a fairly light, fun read too. Their relationship is very fun. Sometimes it seems a bit too perfect, but it's fun, and the plot has so many zigs and zags, and sometimes it's so exciting I can't even believe it.
I read the latest one, and Mary Russell ends up with a film crew.
Oh, really?
Like a really early film crew, and it's pretty wacky. It was a really fun read. I don't know what it was called, but my husband had it, so.
Ah. Well, all right. Well, this, you know, that's so exciting to me, because I know, I looked on the library website to request the next book, and I saw there are 11 of them, and I'm
really
I'm so excited. I did too. I had one more book, and that's this was a book that I really wanted in the fall, and then Susan told me it was on sale at Knitpicks, and I had to buy it, and I love it. It's 55 Christmas Balls to Knit.
We don't know if that's like a pun or not.
Oh, it's definitely a pun.
But it was written in Norwegian, right? So.
Oh, no, they meant it.
Would it be the same?
I think so.
I don't know.
I think so.
You make up your own mind.
I think so. It's Arnie and Carlos, and they look like they would have something like that up their sleeves.
Yes, they do, because they're
no last name needed.
The one on the right is definitely smirking.
And he's wearing a Norwegian sweater that I'm sure he designed. They have a very famous, actually, they've done lots of designs for famous knitwear companies, based on Norwegian traditional patterning. But the sweater he's wearing has like a computer graphic. If I were literate about games, I would know, that's Mitch from Minecraft, you know, or whatever. So knit into a Scandinavian pattern. And the book is really, 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 really fun. The Christmas balls are really cute. And it's beautiful, beautiful photography. Really, it's like a, you know, picture book magazine. It's beautiful photography, and a lot of it takes place in their dollhouse.
Really?
And I am a big dollhouse fan. So
wow.
I just love this book. Their dollhouse has a whole Christmas room in it.
Oh, really?
You should write to them, so.
I want to go meet them. I want to go to their farm. They live on this farm and outside of, Et Nedal, Valdres, Norway. So it's in an old train station in a rural community outside of Oslo. So I want to go there sometime. I definitely want to meet them. I definitely want to see their dollhouse. So anyhow, that's my other book. And I'm going to make some of these. They look so fun, don't they? And
more fun than Moki Moki?
Well,
how would you rate them?
Oh, I don't know. It's going to be real toss up between.
Make one first.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
When
right.
I first saw the title, I thought it was all kinds of round objects, but it's truly knitted Christmas balls
with Scandinavian designs.
Yep.
Yes. And they're beautiful. There's, I think one of my favorites is a pig with a heart in the center. And then there are also some beautiful heart ones. They have a whole series of hearts. They have a whole series of snowflakes. They have dancing people around the tree.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question? I didn't want to interrupt you, so I raised my hand. Miss Sally.
And look, they have a dog. It looks like a border collie, like my old one.
So here's my question. Are they knit? Are the glass bulbs underneath, or no, are they stuffed?
They're stuffed with fiberfill.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And I thought it was, I thought it was going to be a perfect complement to the Moki Moki, because I'm developing quite a little stash.
You'll have to make mini bulbs.
Oh my gosh, that would drive me totally crazy. But these are actually made out of worsted weight, and I do have I have two skeins of cream and the dark red from Webb's, Northampton, and which is actually one of the recommended yarns they even have in here. So, so I'm all set. I'm ready to go.
Cool.
Yeah.
And well, you have a lot of time before Christmas.
Yeah, and I do. And, you know, they suggest setting the Christmas table for the Christmas dinner and having a ball on each plate so everybody has a souvenir.
Oh, that's a lovely idea.
It is a lovely
idea.
Better
start knitting now, though.
I know.
I had 33 people at dinner for Christmas last year.
I better start knitting now for Christmas 2035.
I have one book.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I don't want to
ask
you if you're not finished.
No, we're definitely done with that.
It's called A Knitter's Home Companion by Michelle Edwards, a heartwarming collection of stories, patterns, and recipes. And this is just a lovely book. Jane Smiley gave it a little blurb on the front. And Michelle Edwards writes articles for the Lion Brand blog or newsletter, I guess it would be. But this is such a lovely book. It's very cute. It's got different chapters of knitting for children. It's got community is one. Or, sorry, what topic is motherhood? And then it's got a section about home, knitting for home with essays and community and legacy. What's really interesting is on legacy, the last essay is Elizabeth Zimmern's classic, The Opinionated Knitter. So it's kind of nice she bookended that and put that right at the end. And there's really nice articles about the mitten ladies who knit mittens for charity. And she also talks about this Fay Ridge Farm Knitters group in Iowa City. There's this she writes about this woman who has a farm, and she has a little hut where, not a hut, but like a little cottage where she sells some of the yarn from the farm, and it just sounds wonderful. And, you know, there are some really nice recipes, but I was looking at some of the knitting patterns.
For food recipes?
There's this recipe for Mitten Lady Slow Cooker Soup that just sounds really lovely.
It's
like a variation of pea soup. And little cute drawings, and there's a chicken egg warmer that would go with it. It's tiny enough to be
mochi.
Mochi. There's a recipe for deviled eggs, and I saw a really good pattern in here for just basic socks, and I want to make some more heavy socks that are thick wool. And there was a really nice pattern in here for just a pair of basic socks. And sorry, now I can't find it. But it's also, she mentions it's pretty much the same pattern that she used for the basic mitten pattern, except you just, instead of making socks, you know, putting the heel in, you make a thumb instead of a heel. I guess that would make sense.
It does make sense, yeah.
But anyway, it's a lovely book. It's really a lovely book. And I'm enjoying just picking and choosing some of the essays. And there's one about becoming a master knitter, which, you know, I don't want to divert too much from the topic. But Chris, you started on that path to the master knitter.
I did. I think I got two steps up.
Wow. How many steps are there?
I think there were three. I didn't
know. And I'm kind of curious. It would be kind of fun to see.
You have to do all kinds of samples.
Right.
And in the second one, you had to knit one Argyle sock, the traditional Argyle
sock. Oh, I have some knee socks.
I knit one for Energy, I had to send the first one in, but I didn't attend the second one.
Wow.
And I forget what else, like increases and decreases, and you had to write some little essays.
Yes, you right. Wow. Sorry, I'm not, I don't want to interrupt.
It was years ago.
Yeah, I remember you doing that.
I remember you doing that, too. And now, Chris, did you do it through the Knitters Guild? How'd you do it?
Yeah.
It is the Knitting Guild Master Knitter Program. Oh, yeah. It's a guided independent study with three stages, advanced, beginner, intermediate, advanced. Knitting knowledge and competency is built level by level. There's no grade skip in this school. Coursework includes not only mastering techniques, but designing patterns, writing critical reviews of books and magazines, and responding to technical questions, all reviewed by current master knitters.
I think I made it through intermediate.
Wow, Chris.
I think I did.
Well, maybe we should do it
and
together.
I'm kind of interested. It would be fun.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I like that idea.
So I really enjoyed this book.
Can I just say Susan's dog, Shelby, has her head right on her knees and is looking at me.
She's very loving. She's
very
just a big
sweet
teddy bear.
I'm not sure what she wants, but she's very cute.
She wants loving.
She wants food.
You can tell her to lie down if you want.
She's going to try Sally now.
And, oh, yes. And I have to say that I was going to interrupt earlier to say that was Shelby, because she lay down a while ago when we were all talking, and she went,
a big sigh. I know.
Yes,
she's a very loving dog.
Paying attention to
her. Yes. You know, we should talk about the KAL that just finished February 29th,
right.
An extra day.
Right.
Do we have to? So embarrassing.
We have to. We have winners. It was
yes,
so fun.
Yes, it was fun to do the prizes.
It was fun for us. Painful for Chris.
We didn't have a lot of participants, but the ones that those who participated were enthusiastic.
Very
yes.
enthusiastic.
Yeah.
So we were pleased, and we'd definitely do another one.
Yeah. Susan, why don't you announce the winner?
Oh, okay.
They've already been
announced on our yes.
But.
The we had a drawing for one for the a finisher that we drew. Sally, you had a very scientific procedure.
Yeah, out of the hat.
Good.
And didn't Cam help?
Yeah, Cam did the drawing.
That was good. And Volcanic Fiber, also known as Lynn, she won a skein of Fleece Artist Nova socks, and it was a really pretty blue color, and I sent that out to her. And the second prize winner of that finisher was Sally from Idaho, and she won a copy of the book Knitticisms. And then that left a drawing for those who started but did not finish. Chris wasn't eligible. But Martha, also known as Goldie Bear, won a skein of Blue Moon Fiber Arts socks that rock medium weight. And that was gorgeous. It was just gorgeous colorways. Both of them were very nice yarns. So that was really fun, and we want to do another one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So put ideas.
Yes.
On
right.
Our group, please,
right.
And
we're thinking
we want
either fingering weight or lace weight.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Just something to use up stash.
We have a lot of it.
Yeah.
I go for fingering. I don't even know if I could do lace weight anymore.
Oh, you could.
I used to work with like double zero.
You used to. I remember when you were really into knitting lace.
You were the one who introduced me to it. Remember you had that knitted counterpanes?
I started one.
And then you.
That was gorgeous.
And you you gave me that pattern, and I made Nellie a beautiful baby bonnet. This started, it had a circle.
Yes.
And then you went on from that with just a simple eyelet pattern, and then it had a picot edge. I mean,
yes.
It was the most beautiful baby bonnet, and I left it somewhere.
It was a counterpane motif.
Yes.
That was the back of the head of the bonnet,
yeah.
And then you added the bonnet.
Yeah.
Yes, I made that too, I remember.
Yeah.
That was from Knitters, I bet, when Knitters was a beautiful, beautiful magazine many years ago.
Right. Wow.
But you were the one, I would never have thought of knitting lace.
Well, do you remember Threads?
Yes.
They
I still have a couple
have
copies.
Incredible knitting articles.
Right.
Incredible knitting articles. And they had what I think was this seminal article on knitting from, I think, a fairly elderly lady. And it was about knitted lace edgings. And I had no idea.
Wow.
And I just went crazy because they were
so
amazing out of crochet, cotton.
Yeah.
And then there was the counterpane book
that
got published. And all of a sudden it was like, wow, this whole Victorian knitting thing opened up. And because, again, there was no web. So
right.
you couldn't just look this stuff up.
I remember I brought one of those to visit my dad in Puerto Rico, one of those squares. And I, you know, I had my little tally sheet, and I think there were like 103 rows. And I tallied out each row, and I made, you know, but I finished that square, and I thought it was the most beautiful thing in the world. And he thought it was the most ridiculous waste of time. He said, "You could have knit me a whole sweater."
That's true, but that's beautiful.
Yeah.
One of my favorite movies is Truly Madly Deeply, which is a great movie, but
with Alan Rickman and Juliet Stevenson,
but on Juliet Stevenson's character's bed,
there's
a knitted counterpane, which is so exciting.
I don't know if I should tell you this then. Maybe you know this already. One of the new Madeline Tosh colors is Truly Madly Deeply.
Oh, no. Do you remember, like, what... Ranges.
I think it's burgundy, pinks, and reds. And a little darker.
Yeah. Big sigh.
I'm going to forget that I know that.
Okay.
Until it comes up again.
It's a good thing we have short memories sometimes.
But Netflix, everybody, it's a beautiful
movie. I remember
it. It's great.
The counterpane is unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I remember that. And that reminds me that I posted on Ravelry in the pattern section a thing about... Hugo, the movie Hugo, had the tam in it that I really wanted. And several other people have commented that they really like that tam, too. And keep looking for the pattern, because somebody must have done it. But I have not unearthed a pattern for it. So if anybody hears of that Hugo tam pattern...
Oh, I'm surprised, because people are right on that these days. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, Duchess to Bees...
Right.
Yeah. It was really pretty plain.
Yeah. And the Jane Eyre shawl, came out immediately.
And the Harry Potter stuff.
Yeah. And this is really nice. And that character, and so the person said, and I really like, look at her, the picture from the movie, that you can see that she's also wearing a very interesting kind of a scarf thing with the same colors that the tan has in it. And they said, I like that, too. And then somebody else posted, and look at her mitts. Those are really good. And they suggested that the Academy Awards have a special category for best knitwear accessories. So, and I love that idea. Maybe we should do that each February before the Academy Awards. Have our own runner-up for the year's best knitwear.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yes, and we could ask people to send us in movies, kinds of movies they've seen.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
Because we can't see them all.
Right.
I did see Hugo. I liked it very much.
Yeah, didn't you like it?
Yeah. It was good.
Yeah. And great knitwear.
And it had a
And Hugo had a great sweater, too. I know. Yes. I know.
His only sweater, I think.
Yes. It got a little smaller. And I know. Poor kid. Poor Hugo. All right.
Do we have anything else? I think our last thing might be events.
Events, yes. Susan, you take over the events thing.
That just reminds me of Brenda Dane from Cast On. It's going to be at Webb's May 8th, I believe. I wish it wasn't 2 hours away.
I know.
On a Tuesday night.
I know.
We'd have to stay over.
Yeah. Darn.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I know. It sounded really good, though.
If we get in now, but I bet that sells out.
Yeah, I think it's probably already sold out. Well, who knows? Anyway.
So there were two other events. The North Shore Yarn Crawl is happening 3/15 to 3/18, which is next weekend. And there are I just looked it up online, and there's 12 stores participating. And the website is a yarncrawl.com. And it has all the information there. There's a new yarn store called Another Yarn in Winchester, so that's been added. And it's just really fabulous. And all the information is there. There's a lot of stores participating. And I went up to Yarns on the Farm last year on the Friday of the yarn crawl, and that's a great store.
And there's a great store in Salem, Mass., which I think I can't remember what it's called, but it's really a great store.
I just saw them listed,
yeah.
But so that's going on. The other event I wanted to mention happening the end of this month on March 29th, which is a Thursday night, Orly Genger, is giving a presentation at the Mass College of Art, and it's free. And their Tower Auditorium is where it's going to take place. And she won the Rappaport Prize given by the Decordova Museum. And just to describe her work, I'm quoting from the decord of a website. Using the vernacular techniques of crocheting, knitting, and knotting, the 12th Rappaport Prize winner, Orlie Genger, creates monumental sculptures with rope, transforming the workaday material into powerful yet pliable installations. So that sounded really interesting. A friend of mine sent me that. She's on the board at the Cordova, and she said, you don't want to miss this. It's going to be great. So just want to pass that along.
Great. Good.
Did you have anything else?
No, on? I don't. Are we all set?
I think we're all set.
Great, guys. Well, keep calm.
And
carry on.
And knit on.
And knit on. Yeah.
Until next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Ladies of the knit, I know you're ready for it. This is the show where anything goes, so get your needles and sit. Ladies, get your wool, put your feet up on a stool, 'cause it's no crime to set aside time and make sure that mug is full. 'Cause we're talking about knitting, not babysitting, we're spinning out a real good yarn. We don't give a darn about the cows in the barn, but the sheep better come to no harm. Ladies of the knit, I know you're ready for it. This is the show where anything goes, so get your needles and